Time now for your comments.
Some people who heard our coverage this week of the execution of Stanley Tookie Williams thought we gave too much attention to Williams and not enough to his victims.
John McCray wrote from the town of Mooresville, North Carolina, "Much was made of Williams' redemption. While I can't stand in judgment of him and wrestle with the issue of capital punishment, Mooresville was vividly reminded of the other part of his legacy on November 29th when a convenience store owner was shot and killed by a reported member of the Crips."
Our conversation about redemption as a reason to grant clemency was followed by this aria from Bach's St. Matthew Passion.
This is Rachel Barham in Washington, D.C. The text of the aria begins, "Have mercy on me, my God." That music made a powerful statement, no matter where a listener stands on the issue of the death penalty. I ran it by some Bach enthusiasts I know and inadvertently sparked an intense political discussion. Sometimes these little musical jokes are fun for us music nerds. This one was chilling.
This week we cited a Gallup poll which finds 64% of Americans support the death penalty. Listener Lois Presser wrote in to say that percentage changes depending on how the question is asked. To clarify, we called Frank Newport, editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll.
We have asked if you could choose between the death penalty or life imprisonment with absolutely no possibility of parole, what would you choose? And when you do remind Americans of that alternative, support for the death penalty comes down some. Most recently, it's 56% who would choose the death penalty and 39% life imprisonment with no chance of parole. So there's a slight difference there, but it's a majority who support the death penalty regardless of the alternatives that are offered.
One of our profiles of candidates in today's Iraqi election brought this response from Arturo Madigan of Lafayette, Indiana. You pointed out that in Iraq, many people think secular means anti-religious, whereas in the United States it means non-religious. Unfortunately, he writes, this distinction is becoming less clear every day in the U.S. How can the U.S. push for a secular Iraqi state when the people close to those in power here think that a secular state is anti-religious?
And in our story about a court that authorizes surveillance of suspected spies and terrorists, we included an internal FBI memo that complains that, quote, radical militant librarians are kicking the Bureau around.
This is Pauline Migliore from Farmington Hills, Michigan. When I heard the term radical militant librarian, I was at the drive-up automated window at my public library returning a book. I vividly pictured our librarians dressed in fatigues, black jackets and berets, holding large automatic weapons, defending my library records.
One book that your librarian may have seen is called Slam Dunks and No-Brainers. It explores pop language, expressions like duh, whatever, and don't go there.
This is Louise Cortez in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Your discussion about words reminded me of George Orwell, who warned against language that's used for concealing or preventing thought. We're still challenged to avoid such language if we want to think and communicate clearly. But hey, we're busy, so it's easier to just plug in those, well, no-brainers. Please.
If you want to write us, it's easy, really.
Whatever. Just go to npr.org and click on Contact Us.